Chief Reverend Venerable Dr. K. Sri Damananda, Organizing Chairman Mr. Ui Siok Tong, Mr. Lim Yok Ki, Chairman of KK Zeying Buddhism Research Society, leaders of Buddhist temples and societies in Sabah, friends, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Organizing Committee, I would like to extend a very warm welcome and good evening to all of you, especially to our distinguished speaker for this evening, the Venerable Dr. K. Sri Damananda, who is also affectionately known as Chief Reverend among the Buddhist fraternity. This year, as part of the nationwide celebration to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Chief Reverend's missionary service in Malaysia, we are indeed happy and fortunate to have this opportunity to jointly organize Chief Reverend's Dhamma Dutta tour to Sabah. The Chief Reverend's tour of Sabah is for 5 days, from 12th to 16th August. Chief Reverend will be visiting Lahad Datu tomorrow. The theme of Chief Reverend's tour is Inner Peace and Well-being. Tonight, Chief Reverend will speak to us on Power of the Mind. Ladies and gentlemen, Chief Reverend is no stranger to Sabah. Chief Reverend has been to Sabah on several occasions over the last 2 decades. Permit me, Venerable Sir, to give a brief introduction of your good self. For those of you who were with us here on Monday night, please bear with me. Chief Reverend was ordained as a novice monk in Kirindi Vihara in Sri Lanka at the age of 12 and given the name Damananda, which means one who experiences happiness through the Dharma or Buddha's teachings. At the age 22, Chief Reverend received his higher ordination, Upasampada. Chief Reverend holds a diploma in linguistics, philosophy, Pali, Sanskrit and Sinhalese, and a master's degree in Indian philosophy from Benares University in India. In recognition of his scholarship and contribution to Buddhism, the following universities have offered honorary doctoral degrees to Chief Reverend.
That I have been working here in this country to promote Buddhism for 50 years. But I have not converted even one person into Buddhism. What a failure. 50 years. But I think few hundred thousands might have accepted Buddhism in many parts of the world after reading publications and after attending to various religious talks. But I did not convert anybody. Tonight, our talk is Power of the Mind. First, we must understand what is mind and where it is. When Albert Einstein was asked this question, what is mind? He said, no matter. Then he asked, what is matter? Never mind. Correct answer. Because in the matter there is no mind. In the mind there is no matter. Adi Dehavi answer. People had a belief for thousands of years that mind is in our heart, located in our heart. That is why still we use some word like kind-hearted, cruel-hearted, thinking that is in the heart. Later, medical science found out it is not located in the heart but in the brain. So when they maintain this belief that mind is in the brain, psychologists discovered, mind is not located in the brain. Now where it is? There is no particular organ in our physical body for mind to live or to accommodate. This is the latest discovery. Mind is an energy. Now this electricity is not located in any particular area. Electron exists. But by using various gadgets, we use that energy. The mind is exactly like electron. Now the trouble is, although we know that we have a mind, it is not necessary for us to know where it is. But we must know that we have a mind and how to make use of this mind. Then religion, the main purpose of religion, any religion, is not only for worshipping and praying and performing rites and rituals and ceremonies. They are not the main purpose of religion. The main purpose of a religion is to train this mind not to commit evil, bad, wicked, immoral, cruel, dangerous, harmful thing. When such ideas appear in the mind, train this mind not to do this. This is the duty of religion. If religion cannot do that, there's no point of worshipping and praying and offering and again, when certain good thoughts appears in the mind must have courage to do something, to serve others, to maintain our human dignity, to develop our human values, give credit to our human intelligence, by using that mind correctly. Religion is important for that. The other day I have told you, only human beings have a religion. Other living beings have no religion. Why do they need a religion? Because they have an extraordinary intelligence. This intelligence you cannot find in other living beings. They too have mind. Their minds are limited only to find out their food, their shelter, their protection and pleasure. It is difficult for them to use this mind further than that. That day I told you, we are called manushya because we have thinking mind. Mana means mind. Thinking mind. By thinking, analyzing, use sense of reasoning, understanding, we will be able to do anything in this world which others cannot do. We can develop our human mind or intelligence to destroy the whole world at once. what they have discovered by using their mind today, they can destroy the whole world within half an hour. That is human mind. At the same time, religious teachers, enlightened religious teachers, have developed their mind up to such extent to guide the whole humanity, to bring them into correct path. That is human mind. Of course, many people believe divine inspiration is there. Here we take only human mind without any extra energies or powers or any other influence. When the Buddha wanted to explain what this mind is, he said, Durangamam ekacharam asariram guhasayam. The nature of the mind. He says, I have never seen another energetic, strong force or energy in this world other than the human mind. Human mind is the most strongest energetic force in this world. That which works so rapidly, you know, lightning, appear and disappear, we have no time to see lightning. But the mind can work thousands times faster than that. This is the nature of the human mind. I can give a simple example how quickly we can twist and turn the mind. Anyway, it is not very pleasant. Please forgive me. A young housewife was making love with a young boy in the kitchen. Her husband saw this. Then he asked, what are you doing? Then at once she said, do you know, every time when I keep durian here in this bottle, I can see 2-3 pieces are missing. When I asked this boy whether he took, he said no. Today I wanted to smell his mouth whether he has taken the durian or not. 1 second. Within 1 second she narrated this story. That is more than enough for you to understand the nature of your mind. You can twist and turn so rapidly, there's no another energy that which can work so rapidly. That's why Buddha says, there's no another energy that which can work so rapidly other than the human mind. Eka charan. Mind has no companion. Live, exist alone. Today there are 6 billion human beings in this world. You cannot find 2 human beings who thinks equally. Each and every person thinks individually. Husband and wife who lived together so 50 to 75 years, still husband cannot understand the mentality of wife, wife cannot understand the mentality of husband. This is the nature of the human mind. Asariram, there is no formation as an object, either tangible or visible object, to say this is mind. It is invisible and formless. Guha sayang. By catching this word, many people thought that it is in one of the organs of our body. Live in a cave, guha sayang. Mind exists in a cave. But when we analyze, we can understand that the whole body is the cave. Not the heart or the brain, but the whole body. Mental energy exists in our body, according to the Buddha also. Then, there was a lot of controversy regarding the origin of the mind. At what stage in the mother's womb the mind starts in that baby? What stage? Different opinions. They could not come to any conclusion. Albert Einstein says, mind must come first. Exactly what the Buddha has said. He said, vinyanam matukuchismin okkamati. The departed person's consciousness, matukuchismin, in the mother's womb, okkamati, enter. That is the nucleus of life. Later, all the other cosmic energies, elements, combined together, build up this life and this body. Started from the mind. Albert Einstein said, mind must come first. Of course, when we study the followers of various religions, they use another word, soul. But the Buddhist used the word consciousness, not the soul. What is consciousness? The word vijnana, in English we say consciousness, but we cannot catch the real meaning. In that consciousness, there are five kinds of mental energies. There are four mental faculties: Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara, Vijnana. The mind divided into four faculties. Vedana, feeling. Present, unpleasant feeling we experience through one faculties of the mind. Sanya, conceive, perceive, recognize, identification take place in the second faculty of the mind. Third one, sankhara. Very difficult to find out correct English word for that. We say mental concomitant, mental formation, but cannot catch the real word, meaning what the Buddha wanted to tell us. Modern scientist, psychologist, says, we think our knowledge about the human mind is very advanced, but when we compare our knowledge about the human mind with the psychology that existed 2,500 years ago, we feel we are still in infancy stage, because there are many things still they could not understand the nature of the human mind. And this is one of them. Sankhara. We say mental formation. What is this mental formation? All our mental activities, wholesome, unwholesome, our habit, nature, character, behavior, attitude, way of life, all these things are energies. When all these things combine together, take as one mental faculty, sankhara. After gaining enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, certain words came out from the Buddha's mouth, although there was nobody to listen. He said few words. One line is, visankhara gatang chittam. Chittam is mind. Now in my mind there are no sankhara, no mental formation of accumulations of all those things just now I mentioned. Mind is free after gaining enlightenment. Now, we are the result of what we were. We will be the result of what we are. Even children also can understand this language. We are not referring to any religion. This is the nature of the mind. Here we are using our character, our behavior, our attitude, our way of life, our way of thinking. By using the same attitude that we maintain during the last existence. That is why by nature, by birth, each and every person has his or her own character. Assume in one family there are 5-6 children. Same parent, same environment, same education, no differences. But when you study, one person is very intelligent, another one is very stupid. One is criminal minded, another one is religious minded. One is very generous, the other one is very stingy. Then, who has given this attitude, mental attitude? Do you think given by the God or given by the parents? No. That is their own. That is how we continue our attitude. We continue life after life. Wholesome, unwholesome attitude. Small children very easily learn bad things. No need to teach purposely. We do not send them to school to learn bad thing. We do not send them to take private tuition to learn bad thing. Naturally, they learn all the bad thing. No need to teach. But to teach good things, you had to send them to school, we had to send them to private tuition, you had to beat them, scold them. Even then, they are very lazy, very difficult to gain that knowledge. That is why we are used to do more bad things than good things. That is why from our childhood, very easily we learn bad things. Very easily we learn. Good things, we had to use our full effort to learn, otherwise cannot. Now religion is called agama. This is an ancient word. Even 2000 years ago in a Buddhist book we used this word agama, religion. It's a very meaningful word. Here now they pronounce as ugama, but the original word is agama. A means purposely. Gama means approach. Purposely we must approach. That is religion. Why? Religions never come to us. But all the other things, so many things come to us. We accept. But religions never come to us. There's nobody to bring religion by birth. Just because we were born in Buddhist family, Christian family, Hindu or Muslim families, then our parents and elders train us, teach us to follow them. Supposing we separate few children from different religious group. No connection with any religion. We allow them to grow. They never talk anything about religion. That is why I told you they never bring religion by birth. That is why it is called agama. Purposely we must approach, we must accept, we must believe. But many other things naturally come to us, then we accept. Then, our habit, nature, character, behavior, intelligence, stupidity, all these things are our nature. By nature, we maintain. Again, religion is important for us to train the mind not to continue those evil, bad attitudes, but to cultivate all the good attitudes and virtues. If religion cannot do this, there's no point of following any religion. We fight only for religious labels. They are not fighting for religion. Very unhealthy religious competition is going on. For what? To give a label. If we can remove this label, no Buddhism, no Christianity, no Hinduism, no Islam, only religion. No competition. No challenges, no jealousy, no discrimination, no hostility, because those labels are not there. They are fighting for these labels. Our religion, my religion, egoism. Our egoism was through this religion. I want to increase the number of followers of our religion. Whatever rubbish we believe in the name of religion, but we want to bring them into our religion. This is the nature. Why religious unhealthy? Religious competition is going on all over the world. If we can remove these labels, the Buddha was not a Buddhist. Do we know that? Jesus was not a Christian. Do you know that? We have given these labels. We are the followers of the Buddha or Jesus. Therefore, we are Buddhists, they are Christians. But the founders of these religions did not introduce any label. What they wanted was to guide us, to tell us what is right, what is wrong, what to do and what not to do, how to maintain peace, happiness, satisfaction in our life. These are the duties of a religion. Unfortunately, today, religion has become the main cause of violence and bloodshed and war. Then what is the use of that religion? Because they drag religion into the battlefield and try to show, oh, we are fighting for this religion. Those who have planned to destroy World Trade Center in America. Nearly 4,000 innocent people had to face death, untimely death. All are innocent people. 1.5 trillion dollars of property completely burned. Having done that, organizers say, well done. Very well done. God bless them. That is why the day I told you, now heaven has no place, fully packed. The more you destroy the followers of other religion, the more easily you can go to heaven. This is religion. What a pity. How our human mind, our greed, our jealousy, our selfishness polluted the purity of religion. There is no religion in this world that which encourages for people to create this kind of cruelty for innocent people to suffer. So today we are using religion for that. This is the nature of the human mind. Religion is to train and tame and culture the human mind. But human mind polluted religion, misusing, abusing name of religion. The most unreliable persons, living beings in this world are the human beings. We can trust animals, other living beings, because we know their nature, their character, their way of life. But we cannot understand the nature of human being because of that human mind. To train this human mind, different religious teachers have introduced, taught different methods. Many people started to worship and pray and do some recite something. While doing this, they tried to guard their mind. Somebody asked whether the God has any time to sleep. Because he has created everything, whole world, must keep an eye on what they are doing. He has no time to sleep. But some people say there is. When people pray, at that time God gets the chance to sleep. Why? God knows at that time they don't do any bad thing, any harm to anybody. God can trust them while they are praying. So in that sense it is useful. But that is not enough. We pray and pray and pray, go back and started violence and bloodshed and all wicked, immoral things. Because the mind is not trained. Mind is not cultured. Mind is not developed. But we developed cunningness and selfishness. These are the most dangerous weapons in human mind. Cunningness and selfishness. And these two things we cannot find in other living beings. They do not know what is cunningness. Small children, still mind not yet developed up to that extent to bring external things into the mind. Telephone is ringing. Then child goes, say hello. Can I speak to so and so? Mention the name. Then the child say, daddy, telephone call. Then the daddy say, tell I am not at home. Then this child say, daddy says he is not at home. Because they are innocent, they have no cunningness. They do not know how to tell lies. Again, amongst all those living beings, they too have their own languages. Human beings are the only living beings in this world who tell lies. See how clever we are. Others do not know how to tell lies. That is the development of the mind. To twist and turn is the development of the mind. But others had no chance to develop that mind to behave like that. They follow the nature. We have violated the nature by using that intelligence. Then, misuse this mind by adapting our inborn qualities, characters, behavior. All of us have six kind of characteristics. Raga charita, dosa charita, moha charita, buddhi charita, vitakka charita, saddha charita. six. Six kind of characteristic all of us have. No one is free from. But noticeable, only one or two. All the others were submerged, not active, but remains in the mind. Raga charita. Mind is dominating this attitude for sexual activities. Sexual urge is so advanced in their mind, they can forget everything. They can go against anybody. What they need is to gain some sort of sexual satisfaction. There are many. That is their character. The other things are not so important to them. Dosa charita, anger, hatred, very hot tempered. One word is enough for them to flare up their anger and to create very bad atmosphere. By nature, it is not that purposely they create this. Their inborn quality, because of their habits. But some people, although they have ingredients in the mind, they can keep under control. Now that is why some are very hot tempered, some have a lot of patience. Raga charita, doha charita, moha charita, very narrow mindedness. Understanding capacity is very low by nature. We try to teach them, advise them, guide them, but they cannot catch, they cannot grasp by nature. They cannot change that. Buddhi charita, intelligence. From childhood, we can see many children are very intelligent. They can understand things very easily, but many others cannot. That is their own quality. By threatening, beating, forcing, they cannot change that. If they are weak, if they are advanced, not necessary to force, very easily they can grasp, use their sense of reasoning very easily. Raga charita, doha charita, moha charita, buddhi charita, vitakka charita, confused mind. Many people cannot decide whether to do or not. Confusion in the mind. Cannot come to any conclusion to decide to do or not. Their nature is such. Since they cannot decide, they go and discuss with others to do or not to do. You know, there is a saying, when the husband cannot decide to do or not to do, go and ask the wife whether to do or not. If wife says yes, can do, then don't do, then you will trust it. If wife says yes, you can do, then don't do that. That is the way how they have treated women in those days. Napoleon Bonaparte, a great man, what he has said. He said, if you want to teach anything to women, please don't teach them anything to think, because they do not know how to think. Teach them something to believe, then they will accept. Just to believe. The bad reputation they have created for thousands of years about women. But the Buddha has mentioned in his teaching, Naso sabvesu tanesu puriso hoti pandito. Purisa means man. Itthi pi pandita honti. Itthi means a stree, woman. We must understand, man is not the only wise person. Woman also wise, the Buddha said. He was the first person, religious teacher, who wanted to break this traditional belief that women are lower than men. Remember, mind is neither male or female. Mind is free. A bhikkhuni, a Buddhist nun, was meditating long ago. Somebody came and told her, you are a woman. Why do you want to waste your time for meditating? What do you can gain by meditating? Then this bhikkhuni or nun said, itthi bhavo king kaira chittam isusamahiti. If the mind is ready, it makes no difference with the man or woman, because the mind is neither male nor female. Mind is mind. Please remember this. Now, our topic is to show the power of mind. Just now I mentioned few items. What kind of disaster, destructions for that we can do by using our human mind. Even devils or ghosts or God also cannot do such destructive things. But human beings can. See how powerful human mind. Now let us think how to develop this mind. I told you religion is important for us. Let it be any religion. That religious label is not so important. To learn how to develop this mind, to avoid evil, to do good, to train the mind. This is the message of the Buddha. If anybody asks, actually what is Buddhism? Only these three lines. Sabba papasya akaranam, not to do bad thing. Kusalasya upasampada, do good things. Sacitta pariyo dapanam, try to purify your own mind. Etang buddhanusasanam. This is the message of every Buddha who appears in this world. Here, you must try to purify your own mind. Why the Buddha says like this? Nobody else can purify the other person's mind. The Buddha cannot purify your mind or our mind. God cannot purify your mind. But you can do. Very clearly Buddha says, Tumhehi kichang atappang akkhara Kataro Tathagata. You had to use your own mind to understand and to do this. But the Buddha cannot do for you. Nobody else can do for you. You had to do by using your mind. Now, you believe in God. You know you are very cruel. You know it is very bad. You go and pray and pray and pray, asking God to take out the cruelty from your mind. Do you think God can do that? If not, you come to the Buddha. Having heard Buddha also very powerful. And worship and say, please take away my cruelty from my mind. Do you think Buddha can do that? Impossible. Another person cannot change the mind. Religious teachers can give guidance, advice, how to do that. But you have to do this. They cannot do that. That is why here the Buddha says, Sachitta Pariyodapanam. You must try to purify your own mind. Another person cannot purify. How to purify? Now you have been doing certain bad things. So one day you realize, I know these things are wrong, very bad. Then you determine not to repeat, not to do it again. Stop. Then you purify your own mind. The God cannot stop this, the Buddha cannot stop this. But you can. This is the nature of the mind. Another person cannot handle our mind. Either Buddha or God or any other supernatural living beings cannot do anything with our mind. But we can do if we use our mind properly. But the religious teachers give guidance, advice, how to do this. Now let us take the Buddha. How to purify, how to train, how to tame, how to develop the mind. Then, method is this. First, you must stop bringing external object into the mind through the senses. Every minute, every second, external object disturb the mind. Vision, the sound, the smell, the taste, the feeling. These five channels. Mind itself create mental objects. Six channels. Mind is mad now. No peace. Then create anger, jealousy, grudge, ill will, craving, attachment, all the, what you call, good and bad mental attitude we create because of these external objects. The Buddha says this very clearly. Pabhasara midam bhikkhave cittam Tanchako agantukehi upakkilesehi upakkilita. I am giving this quotation for you to know, to show the authenticity. These are not my own interpretation. He says, naturally, at the initial stage, our mind is pure. Later, when the five senses started to develop, to bring external object into the mind. Mental pollution start from that day onward. This is the nature of the mind. That is why we had to train our senses not to disturb the mind by bringing external object. Stop. Train the mind not to create mental image, mental object. Now the mind is alone. No disturbances, no temptation, no irritation. But mind can stay alone without taking an object. Mind must fix towards an object. The Buddha has advised, we must give a neutral object. If it is very good, very pretty, very handsome, then again mind is disturbed. If it is ugly, filthy, disturb the mind. Therefore, object must be neutral. What is the neutral object recommended by the Buddha? Your own breath. Inhaling, exhaling, inhaling, exhaling. Count. 1 to 10, 1 to 10, 1 to 10. In the mind, no need to decide. Now mind cannot catch anything else into the mind. Cannot bring anything else into the mind. Mind is relaxing, 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 relaxing. When the mind is relaxing, I told you the other day also, the organs of our body, brain cells, hormone, glands, nervous system, blood circulation, heartbeat, stomach, all these organs are disturbed by the mind. When the mind is relaxing, these organs also function in normal way. Then we can lead a healthy life. We can avoid many sicknesses. Because the mind can create so many sicknesses. We do not know that. Later we come and say, oh, somebody might have done charm, or black magic, or devil, or ghost. Cannot understand, this is created by our own mind, not by anybody else. Now, mind is very tame, not stubborn, not wild, very tame. Because had the chance to relax. There is no religious label for that. This is not only for Buddhists. Anybody who got a mind can practice this without using any religious label. Then, when we use our mental energy through the senses, because senses cannot work without mental energy. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, consciousness is working there. But we use these as channels, bring. If we maintain this fear or worries or anger for a long period, create sicknesses, lot of sicknesses. Then, when the mind is cultured, take an object into the mind. He has prescribed 4 objects to concentrate. kāyānupassanā, vedanānupassanā, cittānupassanā, dhammānupassanā.
Four objects.
Take body. Your body or my body. Concentrate. Analyze. Try to understand what this body is. Then we start from the very beginning. This is the combinations of four mental faculties and four elements. Combination, then the body come into existence. Again, when we analyze part by part in our physical body, separate all those things, keep separately. The man is missing. Flesh, bones, blood, a skin, hair, teeth, keep all separate one by one. But the man is missing. The man is a concept created by our mind where all these things combine together. In reality, there is no man. The combinations of all these things create this. Then, to maintain this body, why should I commit bad, wicked, cruel, harmful thing? Develop the mind. Cultivate the mind. By concentrating on physical body. Then vedananupassana. Vedana means feeling. We have three kinds of feeling. Pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. Neutral feeling we neglect. Pleasant and unpleasant feeling we take seriously. Take for instance, when you go out, you meet one of your best friends. Embrace and laugh and joke and express happiness. Then, furthermore, then later you met your number one enemy. Your face becomes sour and very embarrassing, and so much of anger, jealousy, grudge and ill will completely pollute the purity of the mind. Feeling. Pleasant, unpleasant feeling. In between, you met so many people going here and there. No feeling. You don't want to look at their face, you don't know who they are. Just let them go. Neutral. But it is a feeling. Neutral feeling. When pleasant or unpleasant feelings appear, we have to concentrate. This unpleasant feeling, pain or suffering, so unpleasant feeling, is not permanent. This is changeable. Impermanent. We should not hate the unpleasant feeling. We should not hate the pain or suffering. When the pain is here, focus the mind. Then create pain, 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 pain. Then harmonize. Mind harmonize with the pain, then the forget the pain. That is meditation. Meditate on pain. Then we have forgotten the pain. pleasant feeling, then you have to think, this very pleasant and nice feeling that I am experiencing won't last long. Maybe a few seconds, or a few minutes, or a few hours, or a few days, or a few months. It disappears. Why should I become slaves to this pleasant feeling? To misuse, to neglect all my duties, responsibilities, obligations, and spiritual development. Why should I neglect them just because this pleasant feeling? It is impermanent. Certain feeling only few seconds, disappear. After that, we want to get it back. We run after that, cannot catch. We get into trouble. You have to concentrate on that, this pleasant feeling, that is emotional satisfaction, disappear any moment. So if you did not surrender yourself to this pleasant feeling, when that disappears, you never worry. You can maintain your normal life. That is the way how to meditate or concentrate on pleasant feeling. All these things we are doing to train the mind. See, citta means mind. Try to find out what are the wholesome, unwholesome mental attitude that you have in your mind. Your egoism does not allow you to think, I have ignorance, I have what you call anger or hatred. Pretend that you are not having these weaknesses. But we had to accept, yes, I know I am hot-tempered. Then you get the chance to concentrate on that, to reduce and reduce and reduce and reduce and to tame the mind. That is meditation. No religious label for this. Anyone who got a mind can do this. You understand the nature of your own mind. What are the good qualities in your mind by nature? Kindness, sympathy, honesty, patience, tolerance. These good qualities are also there in your mind. Then, try to cultivate all the good qualities. Concentrate on them. Development of the mind. Taming the mind. That is called meditation. We have completed 3 items. Last one is Dhammanupassi. Dhamma gives many meanings. Teachings of the Buddha is also called Dhamma. Universal law or natural phenomena also called Dharma. Then we had to concentrate on the nature of natural phenomena, universal law, not created by anybody. The world exists because of these natural phenomena or universal law. But we create our own imagination, not knowing what they are. Things come into existence. How they exist? Due to combinations of elements and energies. Start from molecules from the very beginning. Then go on developing and developing and developing and developing, and later an object come into existence. But this is impermanent. This never remain forever without changing, without decaying and disintegration. Whether it is life or planet or any other object, anything that which exists in this universe, all are impermanent. They exist for a long period, but while existing, going on changing, 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 changing. After changing, changing, decaying, 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 decaying. After decaying, disintegrate, dissolved. Elements turn into elements, energies turn into energies. That object disappears. Now let us take this earth. This is an object. Do you think this is permanent? Do you think this remains forever? No. The sun and the moons and the galaxies, your universes, anything that which exists, everything is going on changing, changing, decaying and disappearing. Now this is the universal law. But many people believe this is created by the God. That is their concept. But this is natural. There is nobody behind to handle this. That is called universal law. Universal law is not created by another person. Then we come to know what this world is, what this universe are. So many universes, not only one. Then we realize the real nature of existence. Now this earth, while we are living, which we are living on, divided into four periods according to the Buddha. Sangvarta, Sangvartasthai, Vivarta, Vivartasthai. Four periods. Existing period. Now this is existing. We are living. We think this is permanent, forever. No, we are wrong. While existing, it is going on changing, 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 changing without our knowledge. Not noticeable. It may take so many thousands or millions of years for us to understand the changes. How changes have taken place. After that, start to decay. Going on decaying, 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 decaying. Why? That component things combine together as a bundle with the earth or planet or life or plant or hill or rocks, anything. The binding factors, energies, started to loosen, loosening, loosening, loosening. Then later all the element separate, energy is separate. It is natural. are 4 stages just now I mentioned. Existing period, changing period, decaying period, and disintegration. Disappear. After that, when this question was put to the Buddha, what is the origin of this world? What is the origin of this life? The Buddha said, it is impossible for anyone to find out the beginning of this world or the beginning of this life because of this. Now, after ending this existing world, completely disappear. But dispersed particles, molecules, atom, neutron, proton, electron, gravity, gas, magnet, all these energies no one can destroy, remain. These are energies. Again, these energies slowly, due to gravity and magnet, combine. Molecules. Then the formation started to take. That is why the Buddha says there is neither beginning nor end. I remember Bertrand Russell, one of the best intellectual free thinkers in England. He said in his book, amongst the founders of all those religions, I respect only one man. He is the Buddha. Although he was not a Buddhist, he had no religion. Why do I respect the Buddha? The Buddha is the only religious teacher who never made false statement about the beginning or the origin of this world. Because he knew what this world is. But all the others said this world was started and such time, created by so and so. It shows how poor their understanding capacity. The Buddha knew what this world is. Therefore he said there is neither beginning nor end. Beginning become the end, end become the beginning, joined together again. Now, setting sun here in this country today become rising sun in another country. So setting sun is not the ending of the sun, reappear again. So everything that which exists, change, decay, disappear, again, energy is combined together, formation take place. That is the 4 methods introduced by the Buddha for us to concentrate. When understanding appears in our mind will be free from all the weaknesses and defilements and evil forces, sufferings, complete liberation, salvation, deliverance, final goal. We gain when our mind be developed up to that extent. This is the nature of the mind. Without using our mind, we cannot gain salvation from another person. Buddha says, Tumhehi kichchaṁ ātappaṁ akkhātāro tathāgata. The Buddha can tell you what to do and what not to do for you to find out your salvation. I cannot give this salvation to you. You have to work for that. But Buddha can tell how to do that. So we cannot expect our salvation from another person by worshipping or praying or offering or doing anything. We had to work for that. Although they believe that they can get from either God or from any other person, but they had to work for that. Simply they never gain their salvation. So from the Buddhist point of view, it is very clear, we never gain our final salvation from another person. We had to work by following the correct method given by the religious teacher. What is the time now? Nine. Pardon? Still can carry on. What do you want me to do? Why not we have discussion? Because there are many things to discuss. Because we are not here to argue or to fight or attack or criticize or condemn, but to know something, to understand something, how far we can get together, work together, and how far we can develop our good attitude, how far we can reduce our weaknesses. This is the main purpose.
Thank you, Chief Reverend. Although the Chief Reverend say that the mind is asexual, the committee, organizing committee will not be responsible if the male use a female toilet. Please bear in mind, we are still in this world. Anyway, I open the floor now for questioning. Please use the mic for the benefit of those who are present here, so that we can hear the question. Okay.
Right, Reverend. All right, Reverend. Just one piece of advice we would like to get from you. That is, we realize and we can observe there's so much of destruction of the world going on simply due to man's selfishness and greed. He doesn't know what actually keeps him alive. What he needs to survive, he has forgotten. What he knows what he needs to keep his greed and selfishness going. What is your advice to the environmental destruction of the world? Thank you, Right Reverend.
Only advice that I can give from the Buddhist point of view, they behave or they do all those things by misusing their craving, selfishness, jealousy, hatred because of their ignorance. Ignorance is the main cause. If there is no ignorance, they never misuse those things to disturb or for destructive purpose. Therefore, all these troubles start from ignorance. That is why it is necessary for us to know, to understand. Just now I explained the four items recommended by the Buddha for us to know. When we understood, then we can reduce so many misconceptions, bad ideas, cruelty, jealousy, anger through this understanding. Therefore, by force, no one can stop. The more we use force, the more they aggravate the situation. The other day, I mentioned United Nations Constitution. they have drafted in the United Nations Constitution, war begins in the human mind. At the same time, peace also must come from the human mind. We can pray, we can worship, we can burn lot of papers and joss sticks asking peace to come down. It never comes down from anywhere. It must come from the human mind. They are repeating what the Buddha has said. In Dhammapada, the first sayings of the Buddha, he said, Mano Pubbangama Dhamma. Very simple saying. Mano means mind. Mano Pubbangama Dhamma. Human mind is responsible for all those good and bad things that which exist in this world. Not the animals or ghost or devil or God, but human mind. Human minds create violence and bloodshed as well as peace. Nobody else can do that. To reduce this, we must develop our understanding by reducing our ignorance. We have more ignorance in our mind. Understanding is very little. Just like huge iceberg in the sea. We can see only little bit on the top. Iceberg is under the water, we cannot see. Our ignorance is so big in our mind. We can understand only little bit. That is why we are facing all these unfortunate incidents, occurrences to suffer.
Next question.
Chief Reverend, some religions seem to have a problem of accepting certain scientific theories like the Big Bang and evolution, that we come from monkeys. Do Buddhism have this problem accepting these scientific theories? Question number two, about meditation. I have heard other Buddhist monks who say that, you know, to meditate, we must clear the mind, clear the mind. They even give a formula, clear mind, breathe in, don't know, breathe out. But just now, when you were talking about meditation, you seem to insist on focusing on object, either it's a pain, or the body, or the good feeling, or something. So, how do you reconcile the two?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. If the mind is clear, no need to meditate. What for? So simple. And the first question is very controversial. What scientists have discovered goes against certain religious concepts and beliefs that they have been maintaining for a long period. Albert Einstein, that they also I mentioned, science without religion is blind. Because scientific knowledge, they can misuse and abuse to destroy the whole world. It is ready now. Because no religion to guide them, not to abuse that scientific knowledge. Again he says, religion without science is lame or crippled. What is happening? Scientific discoveries try to topple the religious belief that they maintain for a long period. Religion or religious belief they maintain not through experiment in a laboratory, through their belief. Religion started with their belief. So what they believe according to their way of thinking at that time, recorded, accepted as truth. But scientists could not satisfy. Without depending on God, without depending on religion, by using their independent intelligence, they discovered so many things that people have never heard, never thought. H.G. Wells, I think many of you know, well-known world historian, he says, according to our holy books, this world was created only few thousand years ago, H.G. Wells says. But when you study geology, we can understand it has taken millions of years for this earth to cool down, settle down, for life to come into existence. Therefore, how can we accept what is written in our holy books? These are the problems they had to face because of scientific discovery. 1998, Pope John announced, there was a big article in the State Times, very clearly mentioned, human beings were not created by the God. They come into existence due to gradual development of evolution. Pope John. I discussed this matter with the Archbishop, Sotha Fernandez. Why Pope says like this? Then he said, actually his idea is, this body is not created by the God. He creates only soul. That is why he says, this human life is not created by the God. But when you refer to Albert Einstein, religion without science is lame, crippled, not practical at all. Now they try to compromise, accept certain discoveries created by the scientists. Then religion become active. Therefore, we should not depend on our belief, what they have maintained for a long time. When you read certain Buddhist books, we can see certain stories, certain incidents, but when you compare with the modern education, cannot accept. At that time, the way how they believe. Now take for instance, when the rainbow appears, When I was a small boy, I can remember, my parents told me, do you know what is that? That is the vessel dropped by the God to take water from here. Then the rain comes. All our belief about this worldly condition is exactly like that. And some of these beliefs incorporated into religions, every religion. Buddhism also not free from that. Every religion. Therefore, we had to use our common sense, sense of reasoning, understanding, to say, no, 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 it is in our religion, we cannot throw away. That is not the way. What people have believed few thousand years ago about the life and the world entirely changed today, different, according to the modern education. Therefore, instead of criticizing, condemning religious belief, we must try to understand with good intention they have introduced this belief. But today when we analyze, we can understand some are not easy to prove that they are true. Therefore, we must know how to adjust in any religion.
Thank you. Next question.
Venerable Sir, on the question of rebirth, what is rebirth? And does rebirth confine only to certain religious teachings?
There are three words. Three means reincarnation, transmigration, and rebirth. Transmigration used by Hindu, and today Tibetans also use that word, transmigration. Sorry, not transmigration, reincarnation. Reincarnation. Transmigration means the soul migrate from life to life, if not straight away, either heaven or hell. That is called transmigration. Buddhism does not use these two words. Used only rebirth. That is also not correct. The word used by the Buddha in his first sermon, Dhammacakka Sutra, he said, Natthi dani punabhava. Punabhava. Becoming again. That is the word used by the Buddha. No more we use the word rebirth. That means becoming again. Why become again? People say, why? We cannot understand. Today, religion is not important to understand that becoming again is true. No need to depend on any religion. How many people have remembered their previous birth, explained everything in details? Many people have come from America, Germany, England, having heard, investigated, found out correct what they have said. But that memory remains only 1 or 2 years' time. After that, completely disappears. Just now I mentioned, in our storehouse of consciousness, all our memories are there. That memory suddenly appears. Again, when we hypnotize a person, there are many cases they have explained their previous birth, all the details, and spoke a language that this person never learned within this lifetime. There are many cases in Australia and some other countries. These two things are more than enough for us to understand that whether we believe or not, belief is not important. Things never take place in this world according to our belief. Birth is natural. Sicknesses are natural. Old age is natural. Death is natural. No need to believe. If anything happened to us after our death, that is also natural. Not according to the God or Buddha or Bodhisattvas or anybody. They are not responsible for that. They cannot create that, they cannot stop that. Only our mind, our consciousness is responsible for that. Just now I mentioned consciousness, I did not explain. What are the five kinds of mental energies maintained, that we maintain in our consciousness? Avijja, Trishna, Karma, Upadana, Bhava. We do not know. We take only consciousness. First, avijja, ignorance, just now I mentioned. We have more ignorance in our consciousness. Ignorance misleads us, persuade us to create more bad things than good things. It is in our consciousness. Then we have craving. Three kinds of craving. Kamatanha, Bhavatanha, Vibhavatanha. Craving for existence. We can destroy thousands of others for my living or our living. Our craving is so grave, so strong in our mind. By destroying all the others, I want to live. Craving for rebirth. Craving for eternal life. Always in our mind. Then tanha, karma. We cannot live without creating either good karma or bad karma. Karma is not belong to any religion. Natural occurrences, wholesome, unwholesome, by nature, not created by the man or religious teachers. By thinking, by talking, by doing certain things, we create good karma and bad karma. Whether we have religion or not, or whatever religion that we maintain, this is natural. When we develop hatred, anger, jealousy, grudge and ill will in our mind, we create bad karma. When we develop sympathy, compassion, kindness and honesty in our mind, we create good karma. When you scold others to abuse, insult and condemn, we create bad karma. When you talk to others to console, when they are suffering from fear and worries and all sicknesses and all these problems, we talk to them kindly, very nicely to console them, we create good karma. We do certain things for our pleasure or for our living. Certain things are moral, certain things are immoral. Certain things are good, certain things are bad. Everybody is responsible for it. This is in our consciousness. The other one is upadana, attachment. All of us have some sort of attachment towards somebody or something. There is nobody who live in this world who has no attachment. Last one is karma formation. Karma formation means when we are going to die, senses are not working with the mind. We cannot think purposely. Stop everything. That is the time that subconscious mind projects all our good karma, bad karma, neutral karmas appear, disappear, appear, disappear, just like a film show in the mind. Before our death, the last karmic thought that appeared in the mind, take the responsibility for the next existence. That is called karma bhava. These five energies are working in that consciousness. So when this consciousness transmitted from here, just now I mentioned, it must enter into a mother's womb. Maybe test tube also mother's womb. Whether humans or animals or any other, according to karmic energy. Rebirth take place in this way. Not created by anybody. Our own mental ingredients we maintain as consciousness.
Thank you. Next question. Chief Reverend, can I pose a question to you?
You are going to post.
Yeah. My question is, there are quite a number of us who are meditators. Is there any way you can share with us how we are told meditation is a long path, it's a tedious and long path to walk. So very often this thing pops up in the mind, are we progressing, or are we retrogressing? Can you shed some light on this? How does a meditator know by himself whether he's moving ahead or stagnant or retrogressing? Thank you.
When a person is suffering from a sickness, he takes some medicine. While taking medicine, he can understand whether his sickness is reducing or increasing. What is the first one?
Okay, my first question is, what is the purpose of life?
Oh, that's right.
And my second question...
Wait.
Okay.
Parartha chariyaya satang hi jivanam. In Sanskrit language, the purpose of our life is to do some service to others. Without serving others, we cannot serve ourselves. That is the purpose of our life. Now, what is the second one?
My second question is, how could religions in this world play a more significant role towards promoting world peace and avoiding conflicts in between religions and communities of different ethnic backgrounds?
In my talk, I have mentioned religion is to train human mind not to create violence or disturbances or destruction, but that corrupted human mind misuse religion for their own benefit, to gain more worldly power or political power or material things. So no one can do anything to promote peace or what you call happiness if we do not change our mind. It never come down from heaven. It never come down from anywhere else. It must come from our mind. If the mind is corrupted, selfish, no one can do anything. They are misusing religion. Religion is a very big business now. Actually, they are not practicing religion. They use religion either for gain more political power, more authority, or more material gain, or manpower. They use religion only for that purpose, but they do not want to practice any religion. They use the name of religion to gain many of these things. See how we use our mind, how unreliable we are. So, what is the second, third one?
Should a religion get involved in politics and to take stand on certain issues, especially...
Yes, I can remember. No, it is a good question. Because I have heard on many occasions people say we should not use religion with politics, should not mix up. They are wrong. The Buddha has given this advice. Anujanami bhikkhave rajanam anuvattitum. First advice, as the followers of the Buddha, to cooperate with the existing government or law enforced by the government. That is the first advice. Second advice, if the ruler of a country punished innocent people, it is not suitable for him to remain as a ruler. He must get out from that. Then he said, if the ruler do not punish the culprit, he is also not suitable to remain. Therefore, the Buddha has pointed out the culprit must be punished. But in Buddhism, there are no religious punishment. Many other religions, they have religious punishment. In Buddhism, there is no religious punishment. The Buddha's advice is cooperate with the existing government and the law. No separate religious law in Buddhism. Again, if the people come to know the rulers or the government are unfair, overtaxing, it is their duty to get rid of that kind of politics or political power or the government and organize, establish a good government. Therefore, we cannot say religion should not interfere with politics.
Thank you. Next question.
Reverend Sir, good evening. I would like to hear your opinion or belief on destiny. Is it true, or do you believe that human beings are responsible for their own destiny, as in the saying, destiny is in your hands, or is there a higher superpower that determines who we are or where we are? Thank you.
I have very clearly explained, individually, each and every person is responsible for his or her life. Another person cannot handle this life. According to the Buddha, either the Buddha or God or Brahma or Deva or any other supernatural living being, they have nothing to do with this. I am responsible for my life. If I don't like to suffer, I must know it is bad for me to do bad thing, cruel, wicked, harmful thing. If I like to have peaceful, happy, prosperous life, I must know how to cultivate and develop my way of life by doing some service to others. Therefore, another living being has nothing to do with this life.
Thank you.
Difficult for us to develop this spirituality. Spirituality means by reducing all the evil forces from the mind, cultivating all the good thoughts, words and actions in the mind. Then when the mind is pure, we have cultivated spirituality. In the teachings of the Buddha, he says, the way for you to cultivate your spiritual development to find out the salvation is one way. The method for you to gain worldly material gain and power and authority is another way. These two cannot go together. If you want to develop spiritualism, you have to reduce so much of attachment, craving, anger, jealousy, grudge and ill will, then go on developing. If you are too religious, if you meditate whole day and night, you never gain anything for worldly development. If you want to experience your pleasure, your worldly gain, your material gain, meditation cannot give you anything. You have to work very hard. Buddha says, alaso gihi kama bhogi nasadu. Those who like to enjoy worldly pleasure, if they are lazy people, nasadu, no good. The Buddha says, asanyato pabbajito nasadu. The monk or the priest or religious people have no discipline. Nasadu, no good. Raja nasadhu anisammakari. Raja, the ruler, if he is very stubborn, very biased, nasadhu, no good to remain as a ruler. Yo pandito kodhano so nasadhu. If educated person always show his or her anger, nasadhu, no good. Here the Buddha said, don't be lazy, you must work very hard. He say, Uttana Sampada, Arakha Sampada. You must be active. You must work hard. You must know how to protect what you have earned. without wasting, without neglecting, because you want to lead a worldly life. But while you are leading a worldly life, you had to face enormous problems and troubles and worries and fears. No one can protect it. But if you work for the spiritual development, then you had to reduce all those evil thoughts from the mind, cultivate God's good thought in the spiritual development. Two lines.
Thank you.
Chief Reverend, so I understand we are entitled to three questions. So my third question is, Chief Reverend, you have been talking about the mind and consciousness, but say in the last century, psychologists like Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, they talk about unconscious or the unconscious mind. So you are talking about through meditation, we can gain control of our conscious mind, but can meditation also help us to gain control of our unconscious mind, for example? Because today psychologists talk about what happened to our childhood, for example, even before age of reasoning, we will somehow influence our adult life, our behavior and actions. So can meditation also help us to gain control of our unconscious mind besides the conscious mind?
What is the meaning of unconscious? What do you mean by unconscious?
Not conscious, a conscious, before consciousness. For example, now something happened, child has been abused, for example. Mm-hmm. So when he grows up to be an adult, this abuse will have influence his actions and thoughts and behavior.
They have nothing to do with unconsciousness. Unconscious means when the five senses are not working with the mind, when the mind stops thinking, that is unconscious. That means mind exists, but it does not work. Unconscious. So when they meditate, they try to do this. Stop all the five senses, stop thinking, then the mind experience, it is unconscious. Mind experience the bliss. The Buddhas and Arahantas who have attained the higher stage, occasionally, purposely, spent for 7 days as unconscious, just like dead bodies. There is no difference between dead body and their body while they are in unconscious state. During this period, they experience bliss because the burdens of physical body is not there. The hindrances, obstructions, troubles and problems they are facing because of the body, hunger, thirst, pain, ache, suffering. So when the mind is in that unconscious state, the mind is free from the physical burden. That is the meaning of unconscious from the Buddhist point of view.
Thank you. It's 9:45. Oh, one final question.
Reverend, I have this question. From what I understand of most religion, the emphasis is on faith, on belief. And because of that faith, the followers are actually looking for salvation. They are being taught that through faith you can get salvation. Now, from what I heard about the Buddhist teaching so far, the emphasis seems to be that faith is not important. What you believe is not important, because it is the universal truth and it is the mind that is important, rather than the faith. In other words, what you believe does not change anything in the world. That's what you emphasize. And all this concept that you have talked about, that because we are an ongoing matter, the molecules, the elements, everything, this world has no beginning, no end. Does am I right to believe that if that is the case, in the case of Buddhists, the follower of Buddha, there is actually no need to even think about salvation. There is no such thing as salvation in your belief. Am I right to say that?
It is not necessary to believe or think. By knowing, the more we exist, the more we have to suffer, physically and mentally. Almost every day, complain, pain, troubles, worries, fear, disturbances, while we are living here. So if we don't like to suffer like this, then we must have an aim in our life. What is that aim? To get rid of all these sufferings and problems and troubles that we are facing. Therefore, religion paved the way what to do and what not to do to get rid of this unsatisfactoriness in our life. So the belief has nothing to do with that, only understanding.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry, Reverend, before I come to my question, actually, while other religions stress on deepness of faith for salvation, Buddhists simply say that your actions will give you salvation. If you do good, your salvation is already guaranteed, not your deepness of faith. That's what I understand. Hope I'm right. Before I come to my question, another thing is the long and short of what we have learned today is that if you're clear in your mind, if your understanding is clear, you don't actually need to go into meditation. Am I right? Okay. Thank you. The other thing is...
So you ask, then you answer your question.
Go. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. I was waiting for the nod from Reverend Sid, so I'm glad I'm right. The other thing is, I have in my own concept come up with a difference between a religion and spiritualism. Maybe I'm wrong, but just to simplify my simple mind and make it easy, spiritualism and religion are the same, except that spiritualism is the belief in God in a supernatural being, but you do it in your own way, spiritualism. Whereas religion, I have discovered, is rather giving a brand name to what you believe in, a supernatural power. And therefore, there is a lot of diversiveness. There's a lot of you, me, they. We are different. Whereas if you are spiritual, you have no brand. Therefore, there's only one way. If you believe, you believe. Thank you. Please comment.
I think your spirituality is a different kind of spirituality. We use the word spirity, means moksha. In Sanskrit, we say moksha. In Pali, we say mokha. In English, we say salvation, liberation, deliverance, freedom. Same meaning. Why every religion use this word, salvation? That means they admit within this lifetime we are suffering. To get rid of this suffering, must follow this religious way of life for our salvation, for our liberation, for our freedom. That is the purpose of life. That is spiritual development.
Thank you.
It's now 9:50, so we have come to the end of the Q&A session. So once again, on behalf of everyone, thank you very much, Chief Reverend, for a very beneficial lecture and Q&A session. I'm sure all of us have benefited greatly after hearing Chief Reverend's lecture and responses to the questions fielded. The first leg of Chief Reverend's tour of Sabah has now come to an end.
Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sadasutti bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba dhammanu bhavena sadasutti bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba sanghanu bhavena sadasutti bhavantu te.
Sadhu.
Do you know the meaning of sadhu? Why did you say sadhu?
Excellent.
Well done.
Well done.
Excellent. That means encourage others also to continue when you say sadhu. Another thing, when we say sadhu, that is the end of that program. Understand? End of the program, only we say sadhu. So...